5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm Frank Briscoe, the preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville. And with me this evening, as usual, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. We're delighted to have you with us this evening. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of the benefits of being a Christian. And last week, we began to look at one of the benefits is the strength that we gain in the Christian hope. We're looking at hope, the nature of hope, what it means, from whence it comes, and the content of the hope that we have, the object of our hope, various things that we're going to be discussing in our program this evening. So we're certainly happy that you're with us. Remember that this is a live call-in program. If you have a comment or a question, we would love to hear from you. Tom, before we get into our lessons this evening, would you tell us from whence we're broadcasting?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And before we do that, though, I would like to extend a request to our listening audience in behalf of John Dickinson. He is in the hospital up in the Fort Worth area and is doing very, very bad. They're going to be taking him off life support tomorrow, as per his daughter told me just a moment ago. And they don't know if he's going to be able to get through that or not. So we encourage you to pray for John and pray for his family during this very difficult time. And we pray that it be the Lord's will that he might be able to make through this. He is the gospel preacher for the Church of Christ in Gordon, Texas. And so we want you to pray for him if you would. Tonight we're broadcasting from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose, covering an area from Hamilton up to I-20 in Fort Worth. We're also airing on KATX 97.7 East, FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. Now, this program will be rebroadcast at 6 a.m. on Tuesday, right there at the GospelRadioNetwork.org. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd like to remind you also that there is a chat room going on right now. If you'll go to the GospelRadioNetwork.org, you can get involved in the chat room. Just sign in, and you can be involved in the discussion that way. We'd also like to remind you that we have a podcast available as well. If you go to our website, harrisonmoore.org, go to the bottom right-hand corner to the RSS feed, click on that, follow the instructions, and you will always get an update as to when new podcasts are available. We also want to remind you that we have an email, questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can email us questions through that. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of the program either through the chat room or call in with a question or comment that you might have. As Frank mentioned a moment ago, we are involved in a study of the benefits of being a Christian. And we're presently involved in looking at a new strength available to us as a Christian, and that is the Christian hope. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 talks about us having a lively or a living hope. And everybody wants hope. Everybody needs hope. The Christian has the great blessing of the Christian hope, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We talked about last week hope's nature. What is hope? We showed how that hope is the expectation of something desired. Hope is always the expectation of something good, in contrast to fear, which is the dreaded expectation of something bad. We also noted how that hope is always oriented toward the future, Romans 8, verses 24 to 25. And hope is waiting with joy. It's waiting with confidence. It's waiting with patience. It's waiting with discipline. But we also noted last week that hope is closely related to some other biblical ideas like the forgiveness of sin, confidence and trust, optimism, faith, and love. And we need to realize, as we noted last week, that hope is securely and objectively grounded in God's character, in Christ's resurrection, and also in the Scriptures. But Frank, what is the object of our hope?
But you know, John, as we look at this and the things that have been revealed to us, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, two or three verses there that I want us to consider as we think concerning the object of our hope. He begins by saying, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set on himself purifies himself even as he is pure." So John is telling us there that as the children of God, that we anticipate and look forward to seeing him as he is manifested unto us, and that we will be like him. That's our hope.
That's a wonderful hope, isn't it?
That is a tremendous hope.
You know, we also realize when we talk about the object of our hope, as Frank mentioned, there is the appearing of Christ, being in his presence, but there is the actual presence of God and Christ that we look forward to. In Philippians at chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul said, "I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is very far better." Paul found himself in a difficult situation there. On the one hand, he wanted to stay with the brethren, to be helpful to them. But on the other hand, he thought that being with Christ, and I like the way the American Standard puts it, it is very far better. And so that's one of the hopes that we have, being in the actual presence of Jesus. You'll notice also in Philippians at chapter 4 in verse 17, it says there that then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What greater hope can a Christian have than being in the actual presence of Jesus?
And you know, Paul expresses what that means and how we will feel of being in the actual presence of the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, he says, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so Paul is telling us there of the peace that is ours because of the relationship that we have with God through Christ, and that we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Exactly. And so not only is God the object of our hope by through his appearing of Christ and the presence of God and the glory of God, but also eternal life is an object of our hope. And eternal life is something that we really hope for, and we see this coming about by the bodily resurrection. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, "Having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust." There we see that hope is associated with the bodily resurrection, being raised up to meet the Lord in the air. Well, notice also in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." So indeed, the bodily resurrection is really a part of the object of our hope. But that's not all, is it, Frank?
That's right. And as we look at that which God has promised unto us, you know, the Hebrew writer, he gives us the illustration and the comparison of what the children of Israel enjoyed when they entered into the promised land. You know, as we read about their entrance into the promised land, it does us good to stop and think sometimes of the fact that that was after 40 years of wilderness wandering. And then they crossed the Jordan into the promised land that God had provided for them. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he compares that to our anticipation and our hope and our longing for the promised land that he has set for us. He said, "Let us fear, therefore, lest happily a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he had said." And a little bit later in the same chapter, he goes on, he said, "For he that has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience." He's giving us a little bit of a warning, but at the same time, he is expressing to us the absolute hope and assurance that we have of the place that God has provided for us.
Exactly. And so you talk about this eternal life, and how is an object of our hope, eternal life that we're hoping for, also gives salvation, eternal inheritance, and true life. That's what we're hoping for. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal." You know, Frank, people make a lot of promises in life, some that they don't keep and some that they do keep. We make promises that we just choose not to keep. Sometimes we make promises that we just aren't able to keep. But when God makes a promise, you can count on that. And he says we have the hope of eternal life. When you look over in your Bible also in the book of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And so here we see very clearly the content, the object of our hope, eternal life, and how that salvation and eternal inheritance and this true life is truly made available to us, and that is why we have such a wonderful hope in Christ.
Right. And you know, in this life, we have problems and we have trials and tribulation. And that hope which we have is that which strengthens us and makes us able to endure and to successfully deal with the problems that we have. We see that not only in religion, but we see it in other aspects of our life, that while we are striving to acquire certain things, and it becomes a hope, it becomes that which we anticipate, that enables us to deal with whatever problem might exist between now and achieving that. And you know, Paul writes about this two or three different places concerning in this life, we're going to have to deal with different things. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 4 and verse 17, he said, "For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." You know, I've always found it interesting that Paul talked about his light afflictions, and you look at the list of the things that Paul endured, and yet by comparison, that's a light affliction when you look at the hope of the glory that is before her. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, in verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us, or for us to usward." Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, while we're living, we're going to have to deal with the different things and problems and live the Christian life. But it's the hope that's set before us, that which we're going to gain, that enables us, and that's the strength of the benefit of being a Christian.
Exactly.
The strength of hope.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about one of the benefits of being a Christian, and that is that we have a new strength, the Christian's hope. We've discussed hope's nature, how that hope is the expectation of something desired. We have also talked about hope's content, the objects of our hope, the appearing of Christ, the presence of God, the glory of God, and how that eternal life is the object of our hope. But also, we'll notice tonight hope's benefit, the value of hope. And one of the great values of hope is that hope protects and preserves. Hope's value is seen in the power of hope to preserve. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice there in verse 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said this. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, "But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation." You notice, keep that in mind, it talks about the helmet, the hope of salvation. And you flip over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and notice there, it says this, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so in connection with this power of hope to protect, hope is a part of God's armor. It's that which encourages us, that which gives us strength, that which gives us hope. Hope is very powerful, and it does preserve us. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Give us your first name and question or comment, please.
Okay. Let's see. Are you on? I didn't hear you.
Yes. What's your first name, please?
It's Don.
Don. All right. You got a question or comment for us?
Well, yes. Yes, I was just going to comment on it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Noticing that you... Okay. Okay, let me cut the radio off because it's not syncing with the telephone.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I guess I have you.
All right. Give us your question or comment, Don.
My comment was, well, you have used several scriptures throughout the Bible, which I do believe that all scriptures divinely inspired in the inerrant Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at them, some of them vary in what that hope is going to be. And the comment I have is that it's too great, it's too big for us to understand. We're just getting a bit of it here and a picture of it there, a picture of eternal life. But on this side of heaven, we can't understand all of it. It's an awesome thing. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things that you have been saying are absolutely true, and yet you put all of them together, we still don't have a really great understanding of how sure and how good that hope really is.
You know, you're exactly right. Even when we put all of it together and we think we understand all that we know, we still are going to fall way short of what heaven and its glory is going to be all about. We're just simply human beings trying to understand to the best of our ability, aren't we? Aren't we, Don?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, that makes one of the wonderful things, you know, hoping for something that's even beyond your wildest imagination. I can't hardly wait. How about you, Don?
I think that's the hope that we have.
Exactly right.
And I think one of the things, Don, as you're saying there, you know, the hope that we have is going to, what we receive is going to far exceed the hope that we have. It's going to be much greater than what we can actually comprehend.
Yes, that's true. And it is so great, so big, we can't comprehend it. And yet, here and now, we have the joy and the peace and the comfort and the hope when our faith is well placed in the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow Him.
Exactly right, Don. Appreciate that. Got any other comments for us?
No, I just wanted to comment on that.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Don. Good hearing from you. Call us again sometime.
We'll do that.
All right, Don.
And take care. God blessings to your ministry.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
You know, Don makes a very... powerful and valid point about when we think about our hope. You know, sometimes, you know, like I look at it like Christmas time, you're hoping for a certain present, and the present you get far out exceeds the thing that you had hoped for. And really what we're hoping for and the things that we talk about, we know, and as Don very vividly pointed out to us, that this is going to be beyond our wildest imagination. Our hope can't even come close to what awaits us in heaven. But we're trying to understand what we can. And understanding what we can encourages us to have that hope. And so hope, as we mentioned a moment ago, Frank, is one of those things that has the power to protect us. When you have that hope of something great to come, then you're going to use that as a protection because you want that hope.
Right. And the other verse that we read a few moments ago there in 1 John 3, where he talks about our being the children of God and that we're going to be like Christ. And then he said, that knowledge of knowing that we're going to be like him is a powerful thing for us to purify ourselves. If I'm going to be like him and be in the presence of God, and God is my, then I want to purify myself and be as much like him as I can possibly be. Yeah. And so that hope is that which enables and strengthens us in preparing to be with him.
Exactly. And so this hope that we have, one of the values of it, or the values that we see, is that it protects us. It is that which wants us or encourages us to keep pure so that we can fulfill that hope. But also, hope's value is seen in the stability and permanence which hope contributes to. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, talking about that living hope of verse 3, unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This hope anchors us. It gives us stability, and it gives us permanence, because if we have this hope and we're holding on to it for something greater in the future, much greater, more than we can imagine, then that's going to help stabilize our Christian life and help us to really be the kind of people that we ought to be pure, like you mentioned a moment ago, and protect us. Faith, or the hope's benefit, is so valuable to us.
Well, you know, it goes ahead and gives us the idea of an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an anchor is that which keeps one safe. It's that which makes steadfastness for the ship. And the writer of the Hebrew letter speaks concerning this in Hebrews chapter 7 there, where he speaks concerning chapter 6, rather, verse 17. He said, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, entering into that which is within the veil, whereas a forerunner Jesus entered for us, becoming a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So their hope is described as being that which holds us secure.
Mm-hmm.
And the security is from here to where the hope is, entering into the very presence, the holy of holy places, into the very presence of God.
That's a wonderful hope, and that hope anchors us so that we don't lose our way. You know, here on the chat room, Bill says, we always have to remember that with hope, there is also action to be taken. Only two of the original group that left Egypt actually entered into the promised land. Too many grumblings and complaints during their ordeal, during their journey. And so he makes a good point. We have hope, but if we aren't doing what we ought to be doing, then we don't have hope at all. A lot of people have false hope. They're hoping in maybe things of the world, or maybe their attitude toward the Lord is not right. They're not fulfilling their requirements, and so sometimes that hope is not hope at all.
Yeah, you know, we passed over scripture a little bit earlier that we sometimes look to, and that's in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13,
mm-hmm.
where John said, I heard a voice from heaven. And the voice that John heard told him to write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And two things there that he's giving. One, it is a voice from heaven. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And this is the result of our hope. And as Bill mentioned there, we rest from our labors. and our works do follow us. You can't rest from labor if you haven't labored, and you don't have works that's going to follow you if you haven't done those works.
You know, if a farmer is out there and he's plowing his field and planting the seed and cultivating it, he has hope of a harvest. But a farmer that sits on the front porch and does not plow, does not plant, does not cultivate, he does not have hope. And so hope is surrounded by our action. Not that we merit anything, but we have to do what the Lord says, right?
Right.
To have hope.
You know, that hope is, it motivates us. You know, it's what causes us to get up and do.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has set out before us that which we can expect.
You know, if a person is sick and they feel like they have no hope, then they give up, don't they?
Right.
And so when, as long as you have hope, you need to keep on working. And as Christians, we have hope because we're doing the Lord's will. We also realize that hope's value is seen in the confidence and the trust engendered by hope. Jeremiah has something to say about that, doesn't he, Frank?
Well, Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 7, he said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in Jehovah and whose trust Jehovah is." In the statement that Jeremiah is making there, that here is the absolute confidence that we have when we place our trust, and trust and hope go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
I can see in many ways hope is used in the same way that the idea of trust would be used. So if our trust is in Jehovah, if He is our trust, and if our hope is in Jehovah and He is our hope, then the benefit of that is the value of hope because of the strength and the encouragement that it gives us in living from day to day.
Exactly. And so this trust and this confidence then brings a new courage. It brings a boldness in life. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Notice there, Paul's boldness, Paul's courage that he had as a result of his hope. And that same hope, Frank, gives us courage. It gives us boldness that we need in life because, you know, life's not always easy. And so we need courage to do the things that need to be done. And we need boldness to do the things that need to be done. And we have that because of our hope.
All right, you know, Paul, as he speaks concerning this to the church at Thessalonica, he began there by saying, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not even as the rest who have no hope." That what he is about to explain to the Thessalonians there is the fact that in everything, even in death, our hope is different from that which the world might have. And so he said that you sorrow not even as the rest who have no hope. But he goes on to say concerning this, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are left, that are alive, that are shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So there is the hope and the comfort that we have even in face of death.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about the benefits of being a Christian. And one of those benefits is the Christian's hope. We've discussed hope's nature, what it is. Hope is the expectation of something desired. We talked about also hope's content. What are the objects of our hope? God is the object of our hope. Eternal life is the object of our hope. We also have talked about hope's benefit, the value of it. Hope protects us and preserves us. But hope is also productive and also promises. You see, the power of hope gives us purpose and gives us direction. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and the sin with that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We have, because of this power of hope, have purpose and direction in life. One man said, "No wind favors him who has no destined port." You know, hope gives us a direction in life. And if we don't have long-range goals, then we're going to be frustrated. We all need goals. And because of the hope we have the goal of eternal life. And we work toward that, and that's because of our hope.
And as you read that passage a moment ago, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. And in the Philippian, the Philippian letter, he talks about he counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a man, became obedient unto death, yea, even the death on the cross. Now, when we put those together, for the joy that was set before him, it was not the dying. It was not being crucified, a terrible, terrible death. But look what that made for man. Look what that did for man. That was the joy. And when we can see Jesus did what he did because of what it ultimately was going to mean. Mm-hmm. And that's what hope does for us. It is that which enables us to do that which needs to be done because of the ultimate end of that which is set before us.
You know, we think about this hope and trying to understand the great wonders that we have because of our hope. Hope also promises us enthusiasm and aspiration. It produces that very thing. For example, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Now I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the progress of the gospel." You know, because Paul had hope, hope of eternal life, hope in God, hope in the hereafter, he realized that because of the things that he was going through, he could be enthusiastic, knowing that all of these things were helping him and others work toward that eternal abode. And that's why he said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If he did not have hope, he would not be able to say that. He would not be able to implement that in his life. And so hope is very powerful in producing enthusiasm for that which is great. One author said, "The hopeful man sees success where others see failure, sunshine where others see shadows and storms." We have that kind of enthusiasm and optimism because of our hope.
Right. You know, Paul gives us most of an entire chapter to help us develop the kind of hope that we have. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there were some that had kind of undermined the hope that the Corinthians had in presenting a false idea that if we that our hope was in Christ, was in this life only. That if Christ came, if we died before Christ returned, that we had lost. And Paul speaks concerning that, and he said, "Now, if we've hoped in this life only, we're of all men most to be pitied." Mm-hmm. And then he develops what we see as hope as he talks about the life that Christ lived and how that we in him enjoy this. And then as he closes that chapter, beginning verse 54, he talks about the victory that is ours. He says, but when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And with that same thought, we can compare that to the hope that we have, that we know that our hope is not in vain in the Lord.
Exactly right. And that gives us all the more encouragement to work toward that hope. But you know, also consider that the unity and harmony that's made possible by hope. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 18 says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, and his inheritance in the saints. In Philippians 4 verse 4, or Ephesians 4 and verse 4, it talks about there is one hope. And so when we have this hope, it brings harmony. Harmony between people having one hope. And notice, Frank, that it says there is just one hope. And so if we are all a part of that one hope, then there is indeed harmony and unity among the people of God. And that's what we desire. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so hope brings that about.
All right, it is the hope. Well, the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 3, speaking again concerning the children of Israel on their journey to the promised land. But in the third chapter and the sixth verse there, he said, but Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. And so while he tells us that which is to be ours, it is ours as a result of our hope and our holding that hope firm, mm-hmm. Remaining in that hope until the end.
You know, hope may be one of the most conspicuous blessings of Christianity. It's a thing that other people notice. It's something that people ask about. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer or a defense to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, people aren't going to ask about our hope unless they see us being people of hope. And so we've got to be people of hope. And in doing that, we can be ready to give answer as to why we have this hope.
Well, those that are looking at us see in our life that we're doing what we do because we have a hope, mm-hmm. something that causes us to live the way that we have. Tom, you've been asked, I'm sure, from time to time, why it is that you either do things the way you do, mm-hmm. or why it is you don't do things you do. People look at you and look at the things that you do. I had a friend who went on a cruise, and I've never been on a cruise, but he explained to me when you go on a cruise, they sign you a table where you eat your meals, and you're pretty well with the same group mm-hmm. each meal. And he said every time they sit down, they set liquor, and he always set his aside. And one of the individuals there, one day they got their meal, and he said, I want to ask you a question. And Perry said, okay, what's your question? He said, why don't you drink that? Well, that's the question. Peter said, people are going to ask you why you have your hope. See, he has a hope that causes him to live a particular lifestyle, and it was noticeable. Mm-hmm. And he got an opportunity to explain why he lived like he lived.
And, you know, if we live a life without hope, then people aren't going to be asking us questions about the hope, are we?
That's right.
And so hope's very powerful. But notice that hope is a gift of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish them in every good work and word." Here Paul says that God has given us good hope. And as a result of that gift, God giving us good hope, we need to be comforted in our hearts. We need to be established in every good work and word. And that gets back to what Bill mentioned a moment ago in the chat room, that with hope there is action to be taken. Here it says, because you have that good hope coming from God, then you need to be established in every good work and word. And so this great gift of hope is something we need to be working for and not taking it for granted.
And you know, again, the Hebrew writer, much of the book of Hebrews is a comparison to what the children of Israel had as what we have today as Christians. And in chapter 7, in verse 19, he speaks concerning an advantage that is ours. And he says, "For the law, having made nothing perfect, and a bringing in, therefore, of a better hope, through which we draw near unto God." So that which we have, that God has given unto us in Christ, is a better hope. They had a hope of a promised land. It was a physical hope. It was a great hope. But the hope that we have is eternal and is a better hope because it's based on the gift of the Son of God himself.
Exactly. And so hope is the gift of God. It's centered on Christ and who is our better hope. But notice also that hope is announced by the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." That's where we learn about this hope. In the same chapter, verse 23, it says, "If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister." You know, Frank, if it were not for the gospel, we would not know anything about hope, and we would not have hope, would we?
Absolutely. The gospel is the basis for our hope. In the book of Acts, chapter 24, Paul speaking here in one of the defenses that he made. He said, "This I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call a sect, so serve I the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law, and which are written in the prophets, having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust." You know, what Paul said, our hope is based upon the assurance of the resurrection. You know, we began the lesson earlier talking about one of the things that is the basis of our hope is the bodily resurrection. And here Paul tells us that the gospel is based upon the resurrection of Christ, and our hope is in the fact that he has been raised from the dead.
Exactly. And as you mentioned a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 15, we'd be people most miserable without that resurrection then without hope, wouldn't we? You know, the Christian needs to meditate on and enjoy the great blessing that hope is. Paul prayed for the Ephesian brethren. He says in Ephesians 1 and verse 18, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. We need to think about that hope.
You know, the great blessing of hope. You know, there's a story during the, well, at the close of the ministry of Jesus here upon earth, the two brethren going from Jerusalem back to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had been crucified. He'd been in the grave for 3 days. It was now the first day of the week. They simply have given up. They started back to Emmaus. And Jesus appeared to them. They didn't recognize him. But the writer there tells us that when Jesus appeared, they were looking very sad. And when he asked, he said, "We had hoped." In other words, their hope was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were very sad. You know, hope is that which makes us glad. Hope is that which enables us to be what we are to be. And how sad it is to see someone who has no hope.
Exactly right. Good point, Frank. And, you know, we need also to express gratitude for our hope. We need to guard it. We need to feed it. We need to share it. Notice what Peter urges us in 1 Peter 1 in verse 13. "Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and set our hope perfectly on that grace. You know, Frank, we need to really, girding up the loins of our mind carries the idea of controlling your mind, getting it under control. And we really need to have gratitude for that hope. And we really need to guard that hope. And we really need to share that hope with other people because, well, it's just so wonderful. And we need to share it with other people.
Well, as someone said, great hope makes great men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing that motivates and keeps us going. You know, the Christian has the greatest of all potential, the greatest blessing, because of the object of his hope. God is our hope. That which God has prepared for us is our hope. Jesus, on the very night of his betrayal, he spoke to the disciples and he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." He was establishing their hope. And in the hours that passed shortly after that, when Jesus was taken from them, they needed that blessing of hope that Jesus had given them.
Exactly. And so the Christian alone can derive the full riches of this life because he has seen that it is the prelude to a deeper, better, more enduring life in Christ. And as Don, who called in a moment ago, reminded us, even when we talk about the hope and the blessings of it, we can't come close to understanding the full value, the full riches that are going to be available to us in heaven. We hope for what we've been told in the scriptures, but we know that there's much more than we can possibly imagine awaiting us. And that's what we're hoping for.
In Hebrews, the final chapter, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, which makes confession of his name." A little bit earlier in the same book, chapter on faith, in chapter 11, verse 10, speaking concerning Abraham, well, beginning verse 9, he said, "By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city whose hath the foundation, whose builder and maker is God." That's what we're looking for.
We're looking for that city. Before we draw to conclusion tonight, I'd like to remind our listening audience of our sponsors, We're being sponsored by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. All of these are good, faithful congregations, and if you live in the area of any of these congregations, we encourage you to stop by and visit with them. We'll know that you'll be glad that you did. We also have various individuals, people like the Hansons and Swigerts, the Keeters, the Forehands, and the Moores, who have recently given money toward this program. And we want to remind you that all the money for this program goes directly to buying airtime. None of it goes to a salary for Frank or myself. None of it goes to anything else except for the programming. And we're thankful for those donations, those contributions, and we also solicit your prayers as we're working in the kingdom of God. Frank, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's draw a conclusion by maybe giving a final thought concerning hope.
One of the thoughts that I would have, again, would be back to the children of Israel. You know, when they made the journey through the wilderness that ultimately led them to the promised land, often we focus on the mistakes that they made. But, you know, there were a lot of accomplishments that they also made. Mm-hmm. They left the land of Egypt because of their faith and trust in God and because of the hope that they had for that which God had promised them. Mm-hmm. And as you follow them for 40 years, now we sometimes spend a whole lot of time emphasizing those that died and didn't make, but just think how many did make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that which motivated them was the hope that God gave them of the land that flowed with milk and honey.
You know, I think about how sad it would be to live a life without hope.
Terrible.
And how is it with people who are sick and they have no hope and the family has no hope, the sadness that surrounds that. But when there's hope, there's optimism. And we have a great hope, the hope of heaven, and we need to do all that we can to work toward that great and wonderful hope. It's been great to have you in our audience this evening. We hope that you've been encouraged concerning hope and understanding one of the wonderful benefits of being a Christian. We're happy that you were with us, and we hope you'll tune in this same time, this same place, same station, right here. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.